Please be seated. There is a church in San Diego, California, St. David's Episcopal, whose architecture is quite unique and quite revealing about what it is to live a life of faith. A long and winding path extends from the parking lot to the church. The path is lined with plants, trees, flowers, all of which are native to the Holy Land. After walking through the lovely olive trees and sweet-smelling flowers, one comes upon the beginning of the church. And at first, you might be struck and jump back in wonder. When one sees and experiences, what one sees and experiences is powerful. You see, a solid, cracked, unfinished portico extending out from the building draws you into the worship space. But don't proceed too quickly. One has to be aware and to look at the details to take in the message in the architecture. The simple, barren, and broken entry is revealing. Looking closer, most are confused. Some are in shock for two massive concrete pillars that you think are holding up the overhang reveal themselves to come up short. The massive support pillars stop 2 to 3 inches short of touching the overhang. It gives the appearance that there is nothing supporting the huge cracked stone structure. Many guests ask, is it safe? And of course it is safe. It was built in full compliance of the building codes. However, the architects built the supports so the real structure support could not be seen, sort of hidden. It is as though the entry to the church represents all people, rich and poor, black and white, blue collar and white collar, criminal and judge, as we come to Christ broken and unfinished. And even though we have many things in our tradition that support us, the scriptures, the sacraments, worship and our faith community, our last 2 inches of our journey with this Christ, this holy blessed one, who we may at times toss aside and debunk, is built on faith. Faith in things we cannot see or touch. Those intangibles that many of us treasure and some are still searching for. And yet we know that to follow Christ requires faith. Thomas Cahill, in his remarkable book, The Gift of the Jews, How a Tribe of Nomads Changed the Way Everyone Thinks and Feels, says that two of the boldest words in all of literature are simply, Abraham went. Armed with an impossible promise, Abraham and Sarah went. And faith as vocation was born. One morning, Abram is minding his own business, and a detached voice tells him to leave his land, to get up and go away from this place, Haran, which has been his home forever, and he will become great and be a blessing to others. Sounds sort of far-fetched to me. If Abraham is religious, we do not know it from the Bible. He seems to be more a prominent businessman than a religious man. The trust Abram placed in God's call was demonstrated by his obedience. As the one who became the paradigm of faith, Abram goes forth, and not knowing where God will lead him, but trusting that the promises he has received will not fail. Here we see that through Abram and his descendants, God promises to create a new future out of the creation that has gone astray. The hope of a transformed world depends upon an aging man and his barren wife. Many have asked and are still asking, why did God choose Abram? He was not overly religious. He was not a scholar or a rabbi or on an important council. No, Abram was none of these. But Abram seemed to have one thing that most of us, both then and now, do not have, and that is a willingness to go. And Abram went. God accepted Abram as righteous, not based on his performance, but on his faith. It was through righteousness, right relationship with God and not the law, that the promise of inheritance came to Abraham. But Abraham and Sarah do follow the voice. They do launch out on a journey without maps. They set out for a destination that exists only as a dream of something new, something better, something that exists, for all they know, only in the imagination of their hearts. Abram and Sarah went. And as we move onward from Abraham and rest with Nicodemus for a moment, let us put away some of our past impressions of Nicodemus and the fact that he comes to Jesus at night, unwilling to be seen with Jesus during the light of day that I have heard preached only too many times. Let us instead remember where we find Nicodemus in chapter 7, when he comes to Jesus' defense against the other Pharisees, or when in chapter 19, he, along with Joseph of Arimathea, brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes and helped prepare Jesus' body in linen after Jesus' crucifixion. What a curious man you are, Nicodemus. Only the cold, heavily lidded eye of the moon sees you making your way through the darkened streets. The records indicate that you are a man of light and reason, a learned man steeped in the discipline of scholarship. Yet here you are, driven by your curiosity, pulled by your insatiable desire to figure out just who this man Jesus really is to you. You begin with a statement and set the stage for a speech, but underneath you have a million questions. So do all of us. The point I make, Nicodemus went, just like Abraham. He too started out that night on a journey without maps. He too, at an age when he should have been preparing for retirement and a few good years with family and friends, literally risks it all to explore this water and the Spirit's new birth from above that Jesus promises. Faith as a verb, not a dusty old noun. Faith as showing up and setting out. Faith is the embodiment of the response God wants from all of us. Here I am. Send me. We go. We bleed. We weep. We laugh. We move from false security to true uncertainty to deep blessing. Faith, we are told, is not a goose down pillow or a cashmere scarf. It is the peace that is no peace, a willingness to go without any guarantees when the voice calls to begin anew. So as Abraham and Nicodemus went, will we go in faith? As St. David's in San Diego so eloquently states in its architecture, will we, can we have faith and simply step out in faith to change the world, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, love the unlovable, to believe? I know, you know, that we all can, but will we? Will God be able to say about us, grace went? Or will we escape into the darkness?